Mad Radio, the Rockets are a game away from reaching the NBA Finals. Mark Vandermeer is in, brought to you by Mattress Firm. Let's do one more version of, before we get to the Texans player who asked to add Mark on LinkedIn.
Wait, should I out him like that or not? I don't know.
It sounds like a good move. If I hadn't called him a Stanford geek, then I think that you wouldn't have even had that thought.
I think it's a really good move.
I really
respect that because, you know, these rookies and player, you know, like you have to think about the post-playing career.
Absolutely.
I know you guys are going to interview Shaq later. And Shaq made bazillions of dollars. And look at his post-playing career. TNT, every endorsement opportunity, he's worse than you guys with all the different companies he's got. Not worse. I mean, more prolific.
More prolific is a good way to put it.
Thank you.
He claimed in his interview that he had with the Triple Threat that he wasn't a pitch man because he actually owns all the companies he pitches.
No, you're still a pitch man.
Well, no, but plus, I don't think that's true, is it? He does, like,
he can't
national
own
commercials for various things. I don't think, I didn't quite understand what he meant there.
Does he own,
does he own Hertz some car rental?
Like,
does he own the General?
Is he way richer than I thought? What is that insurance?
Yes. Does Shaq own the General?
I consider myself less a former basketball player and more an insurance magnate.
I remember when he showed up in that one, I was thinking, because everyone had seen the commercial and the animation before, and all of a sudden Shaq is in this one too?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Oh my gosh. He's in a Geico? No, he's in everything. But it's funny because Trump, prior to the presidency, would you call him a pitch man? Yes, and he owned everything with his name on.
Except he didn't actually own. He licenses name out. Well, like, even like his hotels, a lot of them, they've just licensed it. They're paying him a fee to use his name,
which is a good.
He doesn't actually
model.
Own all those hotels.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, one more version
not
of
anymore,
worst
so much.
Take of the week with our good friend Landry Locker.
It's time to hand out the most dishonorable honor at Sports Radio 610.
Some nasty stank ass people from the Bay Area. It's disgusting.
Here's this week's unveiling of Mad Radio's Worst Take of the Week.
It would go to Mark Vandermeer, one of my broadcast idols, for questioning whether or not he should pay off on a tease. If you don't want to mention it, don't tease it there, broadcast pro, okay?
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Yeah, that's that would have been Worst Take of the Week.
No
but
defense.
We have three nominees this week, two of them from Mike Meltzer following the 41-point loss in Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. We start with his notorious hologram take after the Astros got their after the Rockets got their ass kicked by the Warriors.
So my thing is, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to crush them this morning?
Yeah,
because I can't.
Of course, yes.
But I can't. What I can't figure out is I need to watch these games, and I wish there was like a hologram because I want to know how every team in the league would have played against Golden State last night. Seriously, I want to know how every other team in the league would have played Golden State because I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. I'm serious. I do not know what the answer is.
Who the hell cares?
What if they would have beaten everybody by 40 last night? Is that not possible?
Oh, my God. That makes me sick.
No, you know what, though? If that wins, I might offer up a defense of that.
Number one, okay. Yeah.
I think Mike wants to defend it more than anything. Okay. Look how giddy he is. He wants that to win more than anything.
I think it will win.
I don't know why you have to go any further here.
We got one more.
He has another one, Vandy. He has another one. Mike wasn't done after game three. He had more on that one.
So they still have the opportunity to do exactly what I said. Find a way to make game four close and find a way to steal it. So if they do that, I would feel stupid for crushing them on this morning specifically.
Yeah.
And so part of my issue is I'm looking at this spread, and yes, again, it's horrible and awful and yada, yada, yada to lose by 41 points. I get that. But you could also ask, what's the difference between them losing 41 versus losing by, let's say, 13 points?
And I didn't even put in the part that was probably the worst opinion in the history of radio, 100%, because amidst that rant, Mike Meltzer basically said, I don't want to be like Nick Wright, who said that the Texans should fire their coaching staff week two of the 2015 season. Yeah, because his career really fell off after that.
God forbid you be like Nick Wright,
God, that's
living
terrible.
In a brownstone in Manhattan, like on a national TV show.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really stopped him from having opinions, too. This is the final nominee for Worst Take of the Week. This is Seth's question. Here you go.
We struck on a question here like 10 minutes ago that turned out to be way more polarizing than I thought it would be, with people on both sides calling the other side idiots. So just I'm giving you that as warning. 50% of the people are going to call you an idiot after you answer this question. If you had to go Tonya Harding on one Warriors player, would it be Durant or Steph Curry?
Wait for it.
I mean, that's a weird question, but
Tim Bontemps
of the Washington Post.
From the Washington Post, who, by the way, wrote a think piece yesterday talking about how awesome the NBA is and not the NFL, because the NBA is getting a lot of credit for not cracking down on the non-existent kneelers. Like David Stern wrote a letter to the NBA before that season began, reminding everybody that you're not allowed to kneel, and by not cracking down on people who were not, in fact, kneeling,
right.
The NBA is somehow better than the NFL. So good job, Tim Bontemps, who didn't have the balls to answer that question, by the way.
Let's go with the voting here. Mark, I'll start with you.
I'll go with number one.
Number one, mm-hmm. Seth?
I'm going to go with number two.
Number two. I'll go with number one.
Yeah, because you want to.
Yeah, I'll go with number one. Well, not necessarily.
You're a masochist. You want to defend yourself.
I think it was probably the worst. All right, here we go.
Defend your take.
Right now, the Rockets are up 3-2 in the Western Conference Finals. I believe that's it. The Rockets are one game away from the NBA Finals. That game did not matter. They were not going to win three games in a row in this series, I think. They were not going to go into Golden State and win two games.
They might win three games in a row.
They might win three. They were not going to go to Oakland and win game three and game four. And so my whole thing is, I criticized myself for not selling the opinion well enough. I did a poor job on that. I admit that. But my whole thing was, I thought they'd lose one of the games. Am I going to make a huge deal about losing by 41 versus 15 points? I say no. I stand by that opinion. My issue was, I delivered it in an incoherent, poor fashion.
The problem was, too, it was this whole hologram notion, which is basically yes. implied that the Warriors yes. would have beaten any team in the league, so it excuses the loss.
You're supposed
somehow.
To be, you're not the best team in the NBA necessarily with the best record, but you do have the best record in the NBA,
yes.
and you got them in the season series.
Yeah.
So you should do better than losing by 40, no matter where you play them. Steph Curry's living room, at Oracle, here, wherever, you don't lose by 40.
To validate
what you just said, I mean, my gosh, they just won the last two games. So, yes, they're up 3-2. You're saved.
But this is the weird thing, Mike. This is what I guess we still don't understand. Now, I would say I had a little bit of worst take of the week, too, because I could have just listened to you say that and asked you more questions about it, and we could have led to a conversation.
Yes.
I kind of jumped on you because Landry was prodding me to jump on you. I think that's a lie. That's not a lie. You did it with your
you
eyes.
You were just as pissed off at him as I was.
No. The part that, though, I still don't understand is that you really genuinely worried about, like, being a hypocrite or something if in reacting to a bad loss they went on and won more games. Like, do you think D'Antoni is in there being like, well, look, I don't want to really tear into him because if they go out and win, I'll feel foolish about it.
That's like a primary source, though. The players and the coaches and the executives, they can never deal with things like the way we talk about them.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like,
but they're not happy.
Reacting to a poor performance doesn't somehow invalidate your opinion after the good performances later on.
But here's the big question, though, and takes aside an evaluation of takes. What the hell happened after they lost by 40? I mean,
yes.
They're looking at each other in that locker room the next day at practice shoot around. Yeah, they know, Mike, it's true that if they lose by 40 or 15 or 1, it's all the same. Let's go. We start over at 0-0. Let's play them differently this time. Something happened, and I got to give them a ton of credit here for just changing the mindset. Let's D up. Even early in the fourth quarter of game four, I'm like, all right, it's too bad because it doesn't look like it's happening tonight. And then all of a sudden, wait a minute. And it does, because they D'd up. And something happened to the Warriors. I think maybe they thought they had it or something. And all of a sudden, their backs are against the wall.
I think
the Warriors might end up winning the championship, particularly with this Chris Paul injury, which we'll see what the latest is this morning on that or this afternoon.
Let me stop you right there. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
If Paul was healthy,
yes.
Are you still talking like that? Or are you confident right now?
If Chris Paul was healthy, I think the Rockets would win this series.
I'd be confident. Yeah. I'd almost be confident that they'd win it in game six if Paul was healthy.
I mean, I was thinking they're going to win the championship. They're going to win the championship.
Yeah.
It's done. I mean, how can you not close them out now? I mean, we all know it's Houston. We know how you can not close them out right now.
Yes.
But with the Paul injury, you're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The Warriors are front runners. Now, again, they might win the championship, but I've lost some respect for the Warriors as a team, because a team that's built mm-hmm. like this, when they stacked the deck against the rest of the league, this should not be happening to them. I'm glad from a Houston standpoint and a Rockets standpoint, obviously, but I've lost some respect for them with the weird way they're handling all this.
Right.
Like, they're acting last night like either they just, like, figure out a code or something, or they know Chris Paul is not going to return. In the second case, it's like, oh great, you added Kevin Durant and you need to rely on a Chris Paul injury late in game five to win and go to the NBA Finals.
Or that somehow the Andre Iguodala absence is relevant to a team that's got four top 15 players on it. Like, Andre Iguodala, I don't mean to diminish him or, you know, talk bad about him. Fine, he's a nice enough player, but you are like on paper, much better than the Houston Rockets, and that the Houston Rockets as a team are playing much better than you. Like, they look like the team that has unlocked the secret to defeating the Warriors. And one of the biggest variables here is that Steve Kerr, who himself, Kevin Durant, did his way into a pretty cushy situation, maybe is just getting out-coached and de-pantsed by a much older man.
Well, since you brought up Steve Kerr, if you spend your pre-Game 5 press conference, and I know I didn't see the whole press conference, so sometimes out of press conferences, just a few nuggets come out, and in this case, a few were a couple of stories that had nothing to do with the sport of basketball and the crucial game you're about to play tonight. You're going to look like a freaking moron. Shut up with your social opinions. Well, nobody cares. Popovich, too. Well, be quiet. It's a sport. Play the sport. These guys are like... Let me
just tell you what I think about this. I'm calling for change.
No, come on. Get ready for Game 5. By the way, you lost, and you're up against it now.
Well, hang on, though. To be fair, though.
He was asked about it.
Not that. is your issue before the game that element? Because D'Antoni, when he was asked about Santa Fe, he had some things to say.
I know he did, and so did Bill O'Brien the other day.
Santa Fe, that's different than talking about Santa Fe. Nobody's going to ask about Santa Fe and be like, oh, let's stick to sports.
We're in Houston. Santa Fe is totally relevant because, you know, everybody's feeling it.
Yes.
You know, and it was a week ago right now that we, you know, the story broke while we were on the air together. But the thing is this, you look like an idiot when you're talking about the NFL the way you were, all right? And I know he was asked questions about it, but if those are the headlines coming out of your Game 5 pre-press conference, it doesn't look good. It's not a good look.
I'll say this about Steve Kerr in his comments where he said, oh, it's a typical NFL thing to do versus the NBA, and he talks about all the labor peace in the NBA. Like I said, I forgot about how vocal Steve Kerr must have been about the Clippers owner for decades.
And how the NBA's always had labor peace.
But that also, though, that Steve Kerr is conveniently taking a civil rights issue and debate and turning it into a league versus league scenario. Uh-huh. Like, is this what you're doing, Steve Kerr? Aren't you noble? Aren't you pure? Like, this is something that both people on both sides of the Colin Kaepernick issue should join hands in despising the fact that Steve Kerr actually tried to make that a league versus league issue. And so, like, he becomes part of the problem. Like, he becomes part of the problem, like, of the people moving the debate away from what the actual protests are about.
Yes. Yeah. The real social issues, not league versus league, not, oh, wait a minute, we have Game 5 tonight? We might lose this thing? We might. And by the way, with the Warriors, we want to talk legacy here, okay? So 2 years ago, they lost to LeBron after Draymond Green got hurt. But, you know, whatever.
Well, got suspended.
Got suspended. They lost to the Cavaliers. So they won the championship the year before. They won it last year. So how many is this group going to win? Because, well, you know, we already signed them up for like four or five.
I'm going to start this, and let's be loud with this, and have as many people shouting it across the land as they can. Klay Thompson, if Klay Thompson doesn't leave, he's a schmuck and a moron. You leave in free agency, Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. This is a sinking ship. Get the hell off. Kevin Durant's more concerned about his Silicon Valley investments than basketball at this point. That's the only thing I can conclude. Maybe he was probably watching the markets in Asia or something in the fourth quarter these last two games. That's why he can't. That's why he can't be bothered to play good basketball.
I love that the Rockets won these last two games playing the way they did, playing great defense, holding them in the 90s, instead of like, we beat them in a three-point shooting barrage. Now, that might have been more entertaining for everybody, but something about getting down and dirty and grit and that kind of basketball and like turning back the clock to 90s, not exactly, but you know what I'm saying, in the 90s.
A little bit of that.
Yeah, a little bit of that, getting after it.
With
you know, the
threes.
Old basketball coach strategy of getting after it. Believe me, that's like a strategy. You guys got to get after it.
Real
so
quick here.
Playing hard, and that's what they're doing.
This was week one of OTAs for the Texans. You have three takeaways from this week. Let's go through the artillery of
three. Why do we have to do it quickly? We can do it. Okay, let's go.
Well, we got mad takes, so I don't know how to, you know.
Well, they could be mad takes, but they might not be so mad. They could be happy takes about OTAs.
Because, well, let's start with number one.
You know what makes you happy? Seeing Deshaun Watson out there throwing a football, that makes you. If that doesn't make you happy, then you're incapable of being happy, I think. Because Deshaun Watson, look, he's not doing everything. He's doing 7-on-7. He's doing the individual stuff. I saw him work out afterwards and, you know, work out with one of the trainers. And he was running around pretty well. You know, he and Joe Webb were working out and, you know, they're both coming back from stuff. And I just think that it's just a matter of time. And that's a good thing. Kiki QT quickly on him. Look, I'm not ready to send him to Orlando. I used to love saying send him to Honolulu. Sending him to Orlando
doesn't matter. Yeah, I didn't even know what you were talking about. I was like, yeah, what, is he like Universal Studios?
Disney World.
So the Pro Bowl, which is in Orlando
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it even in Orlando proper, or is it like Kissimmee or something?
I don't know, but I think it's going to be in Miami eventually, because Miami, you know, they're going to do a little bit, Miami before the Super Bowl there, because they did that once before. Never mind. Forget about the Pro Bowl. I'm not going to send Kiki QT there yet, but I think that he's got something about him. He's got this air about him, and he looks like a pro. Some receivers or some certain position players come in, and they just look like they've got it.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's got it. What it is, I'm not ready to project or predict that, but I think that he's going to be a valuable contributor to this football team. There's no doubt.
What's number three?
Number three is, I forgot what number three is, but we'll do it after. I'm teasing it.
That's your mad take.
Part of mad takes.